Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The bipartisan spending bill that would have averted a government shutdown next week appears dead in the water as the president-elect and those close to him torpedo the plan. Here's ABC's Mary Bruce in Washington.
The original agreement would have kept the government open until March with $100 billion in disaster aid and billions more for farmers. But Musk, whom Trump has tapped to lead a new government efficiency effort, launched a last-minute pressure campaign against it, blasting the bill as a crime bloated with waste. Wasteful spending, saying anyone who supports it deserves to be voted out in 2 years.
Russian President Vladimir Putin holding his traditional year-end news conference, saying he will ask Syrian President Assad about the fate of U.S. journalist Austin Tice, who disappeared in Syria 12 years ago. In France, Gisèle Pelletier is expressing support for other sexual assault victims after her husband and 51 men were found guilty of assaulting her after she had been drugged repeatedly for years. This is ABC News. CVS, the largest pharmacy chain in America, stands accused by the Department of Justice of unlawfully dispensing massive quantities of opioids and other controlled substances, quote, to fuel its own profits at the expense of public health and safety. Zachary Kuna is U.S. Attorney for the District of Rhode Island.
It's our allegation that this particular course of conduct, the failure to step in and prevent the issuance of prescriptions that should not go out the door for dangerous and potentially fatal opioids puts lives at risk.
Amazon workers across the country, including two fulfillment centers here in New York City, have stepped off the job and onto the picket line this morning after the Teamsters say Amazon has refused to bargain with workers on pay and working condition. Amazon says it does not expect any of its operations to be impacted and that it represents less than 1% of those facilities by the Teamsters. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and, like, newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Wisconsin adds a wide receiver. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After learning their top wide receiver, Will Pauling, is entering the transfer portal, the Wisconsin Badgers football team added a prospect from Ohio State, 6'3" Jaden Ballard, leaving the Buckeyes for the Badgers. NFL, the Packers begin 3 days of practice through the weekend as they host the New Orleans Saints on Monday night. College basketball, Marquette with a Big East Conference win over Butler, 80-70. Cam Jones with 23 points. The UW Green Bay Phoenix losing at home to Division II Michigan Tech, 72-70. Head coach Doug Gottlieb, under fire for still hosting a national sports talk show, is now 2-11, losing their last 8 in a row.
It doesn't feel good, but I think when you say rock bottom, it would lead you to believe that, like, Michigan Tech is some, like, schlummy team. Like, they got some really good players, they're very well coached, and they're on a win streak. And the big thing is, the hardest thing to teach in coaching is how to win.
As Green Bay head coach Doug Gottlieb with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Variety reports that the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences has announced the shortlist for the Oscars in 10 categories. Emilia Perez led the way with 6 nominations, and Wicked came in second with 4. Voting to determine the actual nominations will take place January 8th, with nominations being announced January 17th. The 97th Oscars ceremony will air March 2nd of this coming year. Superscribe Taylor Sheridan has received criticism for his role of Travis on Yellowstone. The show's creator has come under fire on social media, with fans saying that they thought it was lame that he wrote himself onto the show and made Bella Hadid his girlfriend, calling it totally unnecessary. necessary. Just for the record, folks, Taylor Sheridan has written himself onto other shows as well, including Lioness and 1883. Maybe he's just created so many shows, he's running out of actors. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
We have a winter storm warning today for big snow. We could end up with 5 to 9 inches of accumulation by the time it winds down late tonight. And the wind is going to be an issue, too, gusting to 25 to 30 through the day and into the night. That'll create some blowing snow. High today, 25. Tomorrow, conditions improve. Sunshine, 23. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 17.
Maggie Dawn.
Do you sometimes feel lonely around the holidays? We talk about how to combat that loneliness, as well as the New York City Unsent Letters Project. Next.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
All right, the coffee cup is refilled. We're ready for hour number two of Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network at 7:06 on this Thursday morning, December 19th, 2024. So nice to have you along. Coming up this hour, we're going to visit with Up North News reporter Elizabeth Montemurro and talk a bit about what a couple of legislative leaders had to say this week about the next session of the legislature and how Democrats are once again looking to talk in a way that could lead to progress on certain issues. And the Republican Senate president is saying, in so many words, not so much. So we'll hear what Elizabeth Montemurro had to say about that. We will also have Brittany Merlot's forecast coming up. In just a matter of minutes, we're going to be talking to Christina Sanher and Becky Rasmussen from Wisconsin Progress, a group that trains potential first-time candidates to run for office. It's time to start thinking about 2025 and 2026 already. But before we do any of that, we, of course, and we will get the full snowstorm update from Brittany Merlot in just a sec. But let's go ahead and let you know what the keyword is for the Civic Media Grown-Up Gift List Text to Win contest. You do that through the Civic Media app. Go to one of the stations, use the text button to send in a keyword by the end of this hour for your chance to win an overnight stay at Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. And there will be 8 grand prize winners as well to select a gift from the grown-up gift list. Get the details at civicmedia.us. This hour's keyword today for this Thursday 7 a.m. hour is north, as in up north, as in up north news, N-O-R-T-H, north. Is the keyword. Text that in by the end of the hour. Your next chance to win is coming up at 11 a.m. All right, let's bring on the happiest snow queen that any radio station could want for a meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. She is, look at you. You are
I'm snow happy.
You're snow happy.
Oh, right. Stop it, boys. Stop it. Look, I haven't got the snow dress on. I've got.
I know. Look at you. That, by the way, that was Greg on the Wawa. That was not me.
You put that on my face when I heard that. And I just gave you the Italian, too.
How dare you do that?
So I'm watching, and people did appreciate that I used my meteorological terminology last hour. I'm watching the big blob of snow as it comes in, and it's pert near Green Bay, but it's definitely out to Wausau and Madison, the leading edges of it. And this is going to be going on for a while.
Oh, yes. This is going to be an all day, all night, even into the overnight and potentially tomorrow morning as well. So we're going to be seeing a ton of snowfall accumulating throughout the day. A lot of schools are closed. A snow day for the kids, which, you know, that's making memories. Try to find positives out of this event. Come on. Come on. Come on. We've got this.
Craig.
He's like, no.
Oh boy! Every tow truck driver is like, "Yeah, I'm making real memories here, and you know, and money."
I remember I remember that winter in 24 where I pulled my back trying to plow.
Please continue, Brittany.
Okay. All right. So, yes, we have winter storm warnings expanding from Rice Lake through Eau Claire into Winona, Marshfield, Wisconsin Rapids, Wausau, into the Fox Valley, Door County, and even up towards Marinette, where you're going to see some of the highest totals. So in those winter storm warnings, we're really looking at about 5 to 8 inches. Some places could get near double digits, about 10 inches, nearing a foot, probably towards Manitowoc, Door County, and into Bayfield areas. That's who's going to get hit the hardest, because lake effect is actually going to be ramping up this evening. So the main system itself, again, putting down about 5 to 8 inches throughout the day and evening today. And then it moves through and kicks on out of here, putting on that lake effect. Now, if you're in a winter weather advisory, on the outskirts of those pink areas, we're looking at 3 to 5 inches. So that includes far north and far south. Now, if you're by the lake, and if you're on along the state line along the south, you're looking at 1 to 3 inches today. So not nearly as much, but you're going to have a wetter, heavier snow because your temperatures are going to be flirting with the freezing mark. While the rest of the state, we're going to be sitting in the teens to 20s. So it's going to be a lighter, fluffier type of snowfall there for us. But it is going to be breezy. Visibility is going to be down with that blowing and drifting snow. And those roads are going to be slippery. So I suggest checking out that 511 app if you're going to drive. I like that you can see the road conditions. You can actually check out those highway cameras.
That's right. And now, not to get ahead of myself here, but a lot of folks saying, oh, great, a white Christmas. But there's going to be a warm-up around Christmas time.
Oh, there is, unfortunately. So we've got actually one more shot of snow on Monday. Then the warm-up kicks in. We're going to be into the 40s with melting snow. So will we have a white Christmas? Maybe. We'll see.
Okay. All right. Let's see from Alicia here on YouTube. I'm telling you, we need a major infrastructure investment to put heat coils on all sidewalks, roads, and drives.
What?
Beyond that. Let's see. Tony says, I used my hands to show my 5-year-old how much snow we're going to get. She said, that's not a lot.
I'm with her too.
She's not blessed by this. Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. Cloudy and 18, wind chill of 9. Yesterday, I had a doctor's appointment in Shawano, went to my sister Lori's house for homemade pizza. Also, I got my equipment ready for the snowstorm. It will be central Wisconsin's first snowstorm since March 24th. He says, quite correctly here, give the snowplow operators room to do their job today, and that Civic Media has the best meteorologist to describe the snowstorm, our snow queen. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you, Rob. You're the best. Appreciate you so much. And good point. Leave those snowplows tons of room. Yeah. I mean, they have to work, and they're dangerous. They're big, and they can slip and slide, too.
That's right.
Stay away.
Please do. Brittany, thank you so much. You track it all day for us, and we'll check in with you a little later.
Will do. See you guys.
All right. One more reminder on the Grown Up Gift List Text to Win contest. This hour's keyword to text to us is North. All right. A lot of folks are looking back at November. Might have a little bit of election fatigue, but guess what? Folks are already gearing up for 2025 and 2026. And those potential first-time candidates are going to need some training. They're going to need some resources. There are a couple of different groups that will do that for potential progressive candidates in Wisconsin. And we're going to visit now with the new executive director and the training director for one of those groups, Wisconsin Progress. Christina Sanher is here, executive director. Christina, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. Great to see you.
You as well. Becky Rasmussen is here too. Becky, good morning.
Morning. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, you are very welcome. Christina Sanher, Shelton, as a state representative, you are running out the string on your term, heading over to Wisconsin Progress. I can't think of anything better for somebody to take their legislative experience and drop into this role. This had to have seemed like just a perfect fit when you were thinking about retiring from the legislature.
It's an absolute dream job. And I'll also say, too, that I wouldn't be here and have done my legislative work and served on the Green Bay School Board if it wasn't for Wisconsin Progress. And if it wasn't for Becky, who's joining us this morning, I took the Wisconsin Progress training back in 2018. And then I ran for school board in 2019. And we've been around since 2009 for 15 years. We just celebrated our 15-year anniversary, helping progressives run at the local and state levels. And so to be able to take, yes, my experience running locally and at the state level, and then turn around and be able to work with an incredible team and help people around the state also get involved is a dream. And I'm so thrilled to be able to be here today to share with everyone about what we do.
I would just remember when I decided in 2005 that I wanted to run for legislature in 2006. And I mean, it was completely, you know, I self-recruited. Nobody asked me to run. I just decided I was going to do this. And people said, well, you know, where are you going for training? I'm like, I don't know. And I recall somebody saying, well, I think you'd be good, but I'm not going to back you until you do this. And he handed me a book about Paul Wellstone, mm-hmm. and then said that there were a series of workshops there. So, Becky, that's just to say that there have been people over the years that have engaged in candidate training, and now Wisconsin has something of its very own, like you said, since 2009. It's a uniquely Wisconsin group.
Yeah, absolutely. And we work with national partners around the country who also provide training to candidates, but offering folks training where they live and coming to them and meeting them where they're at to make running for office accessible to folks that are not able to travel for training is really important to us. And we're excited to be in our 15th season.
Yeah, it's amazing. And you guys come, you know, well recommended. Alicia Saunders up in Northeast Wisconsin puts on YouTube, Becky Rasmussen is awesome. And she says, I was ready to go November 7th. So yes, clearly there's already some enthusiasm for that. So in a minute, I'll come back to Christina to talk about, you know, 2025 and 2026. But Becky, can you talk just a little bit more about what somebody could expect if they've, well, first off, do they have to have firmly decided that they want to be a candidate or a campaign manager, or they're still just considering it? What's the criteria? And then what can somebody expect when they make that commitment?
Sure. We allow candidates, managers, volunteers who are interested in learning about the process to come to training. So we have a couple different series. The first one is the Getting Ready to Run training, and that's for folks that are just considering running at some point in the future. And that'll help folks learn how to file paperwork and work on their fundraising lists and some other things that they can be doing before the filing starts. And then the advanced local training, which is what we're in the middle of right now, is available for candidates, managers, treasurers. And that includes a full overview of how to write a campaign plan from beginning to election day, including any other questions they have about the filing process and, you know, everything from finance to writing a field plan and scheduling out their campaign.
I was so, Christine, did you share this as well when you were first running for office and going, wait, I need a plan. I need a campaign plan. I need a what? And I mean, it's a bit daunting until you realize there's folks that are ready to help you through every step.
Absolutely. When I ran in 2019 for school board, I had no idea what I was doing. I had never run for office before. I had, you know, been involved in politics a little bit, but really never been intimately involved in a campaign. And so going through the training really allowed me to see all the pieces that go into it, the legal aspects of it, the filing, the paperwork, and then knowing that I had Becky there with me when I was filling out the paperwork just made me feel so much more confident that what I was doing was the right thing to do and the right steps. And so I think realizing that there are a lot of people out there that are really interested in running, but that overcoming those initial anxieties and barriers to running for office are real. And we need more working class, regular people, teachers and public servants and you know, entrepreneurs, small business owners to run. And if you've never done it before, it feels very daunting. And we want to remove those barriers for folks and help them get ready to go.
So we'll talk more about that, what Wisconsin Progress does, with Executive Director Christina Sanher and Training Director Becky Rasmussen on the other side of this break. This is Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In official meeting rooms around the country, 538 electors for the 2024 presidential election met December 17th to cast their vote on behalf of their state's results. 13 of those Electoral College electors are accused 2020 fake electors, some of whom still face prosecution. Trump campaign associates coordinated a plot in 7 battleground states to submit a fraudulent slate of Republican electors. The plot failed when Vice President Mike Pence refused to participate and certified the results. The alleged fake electors in Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Nevada, New Mexico, Georgia, and Arizona were investigated by state officials, the January 6th committee, and the special counsel. Fake electors in Michigan, Georgia, and Arizona still face trial. Nevada prosecutors just refiled charges December 12th. No charges were brought in New Mexico, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. 13 of those electors were renominated by their state Republican parties as electors in 2024. 6 of the 15 awaiting trial for forgery in Michigan were renominated. 6 Nevada electors were reindicted last week on forgery charges, 2 of whom were renominated. Still unclear is whether Trump will include the fake electors in his promised pardons for those accused and convicted for the January 6th insurrection. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio. Sure, you go ahead and have your movie flashback here from Flashdance as Jennifer Beals is 61 years old today. You can catch today's history lesson every morning at 6:50 here on Up North News Radio. And remember, the grown-up gift list text to win contest keyword for this hour is North, N-O-R-T-H. North, text that to us by the end of the hour to win this hour's prize of a stay at Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells and be in the running for some great grand prizes off the grown-up gift list as well. All right, back to now to continue our conversation about Wisconsin Progress. You can find them on the interwebs at wisconsinprogress.org to learn more about the trainings that they give. There are some trainings coming up, and so we're talking to training director Becky Rasmussen and their new executive director, Christina Sanher, who joins them after ending her stint in the Wisconsin legislature. Christina, let me ask you a bit about the folks who are looking ahead to 2025 and 2026, because there are school board races and other local nonpartisan races coming up in this spring. And then, you know, gearing up for the 2026 elections, it's you know, beginning already for some folks. Given what we saw in November, do you already detect that it has either had a negative effect on enthusiasm for running in the future, or it's been a motivator for folks who want to get going already for these future elections?
Well, I think it's a mixed bag where people are. Some folks are really energized and ready to go, and they're feeling that push to get more involved. I think those some folks that, who have been involved are sort of a little bit more interested in stepping back, maybe not directly running for office, but helping other candidates. And I think that's why building a progressive movement that can weather these political storms is really important in the state of Wisconsin, because as your listeners know, I mean, Wisconsin politics, there's never a dull moment, right? And so as we went through November, we were already thinking about the April 2025 election and looking ahead to 2026. So for us here at Wisconsin Progress, our bread and butter really is the local elections. In fact, we just recently hired 6 new part-time fellows. We started a fellowship program. So where a lot of organizations are sort of scaling down for 2025, we're actually scaling up. We went from a staff of 4 to 10. So we're going to be working on really critical campaigns, the Sheboygan mayoral race, the La Crosse mayoral race. There's some really important school board elections. So these fellows and our staff, we're going to be helping these candidates, really trying to set the table for a really strong, progressive candidate slate in the state legislature in 2026. And obviously, don't forget that in April, we also have the state superintendent race. We have the state Supreme Court race. So never a dull moment in Wisconsin politics.
No, not at all. And can you tell me a little bit about the importance of campaign managers, because they're folks who maybe they're not thinking about running for office, but they may be, you know, maybe good friends with somebody who is thinking about it, and how important a well-trained campaign manager is.
Well, the campaign manager, just like any manager, has to oversee all the nuts and bolts of the campaign plan. They have to get the candidate over the finish line, the team over the finish line. They're basically chief organizer. So they are ensuring that the candidate and the team are raising the funds necessary to reach voters through the field program, through door knocking, mailers, you know, whether it's social media ads. In some bigger races, obviously, you might be looking at TV and other and paid media. And it, you know, volunteer organizing. And so the campaign manager really has to ensure that all of those metrics and goals are met and helps the candidate and the team over the finish line, and also understands their role in the greater understanding of the Wisconsin progressive movement. So the team may also consider, you know, helping other candidates up ballot or down ballot. And then again, really ensuring that the movement continues after that election is over, knowing that things are going to continue with or without, whether that candidate wins or not.
And look, the right manager becomes an instant legend, which is why, in my case, Kathy Daggs Devine will never have to buy another drink as long as I'm around, because she was just a genius and such a good manager. Becky, for folks who are going to be these managers and candidates of the future, you already have trainings scheduled. What kinds of things are coming up?
In 2026, all of the county board seats are going to be back up on the ballot, which is really exciting. There's about 1,600 of those. So we'll have another round of getting ready to run trainings over the summer this next year. And folks can keep a lookout on our website. Usually those get posted in June or July. And then we'll have another round of advanced local trainings for folks interested in running in the spring of 2026 or beyond. And those will start in probably November or December of 2025. And we're also offering, if folks have a group of folks that they would like to see training for, they can send us an email, and we're happy to come to them if they've got a group.
And you've got four more coming up yet over the next few weeks, right?
Yes, we have two virtual options, one this next weekend on the 21st for folks who are unable to travel or are not located in a place where a training is currently being offered. And then there's one in Milwaukee on January 4th and one in Stevens Point on January 18th.
So again, head over to wisconsinprogress.org to learn more about that. And Christina, I know that you're in stepping back from the legislature, much like me, you're going to miss/not miss a lot of what's ahead. But while I have you here, I can't help but ask what you think the next session is going to be like after fair maps, you know, were put in and Republicans had their majority cut by, you know, 10 seats. You still hear, as we heard last hour, Senate President Mary Felskowski, Robin Voss and others talking as if nothing has changed. And I certainly don't think the many, many new legislators that got elected last month are going to think it's business as usual over there.
Yeah, it sounds like they're still drinking the gerrymandering Kool-Aid down in the legislature for the Republican caucus. So I think they're going to get some reality handed to them pretty quickly. You know, unfortunately, it's not surprising to see them sort of double down on just continuing to ignore the will of Wisconsinites to take action on very common sense policies that we have been, you know, in the streets rallying and crying about for years. I mean, things like Medicaid expansion, marijuana legalization, you know, fully funding our public schools. I mean, these are, you know, circumstances. And we have a fantastic budget surplus that, you know, the legislature can take action on. And so, you know, look, I think we've got to watch it closely. I'm going to miss being down there, but I'm really excited to be able to help in this role and through Wisconsin Progress. And we've got to hold those folks accountable when they fail to act in this legislative session. We've got to support Governor Evers and his budget and just continue to organize, because if these leaders fail to do the will of Wisconsinites, then we need to vote them out. And with these new maps, we can.
Christina Sandher, Wisconsin Progress Executive Director, Becky Rasmussen, Training Director. Thank you very, very much for joining us. Have a great holiday season. We'll talk to you next year.
Thanks, Pat.
Happy holidays. All right. Back more with Elizabeth Montemurro after this. You're up north.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It looks like Wisconsin may have its first case of high-path avian influenza in a human. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Thursday. The joint announcement coming yesterday from the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection and the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Details are next.
Can you predict the future? I can't. That's why when I'm planting soybeans, I treat with Heads Up Seed Treatment. With more than 15 years of research, Heads Up offers proven protection against both white mold and sudden death syndrome. So no matter what the year throws at you, you've already taken that first step to be prepared. Don't let your beans suffer from disease when they're just starting to look their best. Tell your seed dealer you need Heads Up Seed Treatment. Learn more at headsupst.com.
In a media event yesterday, the Wisconsin Department of Health Services said they are presuming this is the first case of high-path avian influenza in a human. Now, the person impacted was a worker at a commercial poultry flock in Barron County that has tested positive for high-path avian influenza. Dr. Darlene Conkle, Wisconsin State Veterinarian at the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, says that they are waiting for test results on specific genotypes that might have impacted that human.
There is there are differences in the genotypes, even though it is an H5N1 virus in both the cattle cases and the poultry. The genotypes in a lot of cases have been different, and cattle have had the B3.13 genotype affecting them. We're not aware of the genotype that has affected these latest two poultry flocks. We won't get that information for some time from the National Veterinary Services Laboratory of USDA. Our assumption is that it's the genotype circulating in wild waterfowl, since we haven't identified any connections with dairy with these latest two cases.
That's Dr. Darlene Conkle, our Wisconsin State Veterinarian. She said the impacted person in Barron County is expected to make a full recovery. There is no threat to the general public. And again, there's not been any detection of high-path avian influenza in our dairy herd.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Freeing up your time for the holidays is at the top of our list. When you choose BioVet microbial and nutritional products to keep your livestock out of the sick pen and healthy, you'll enjoy more time with your family this holiday season. Many thanks and warm wishes from our BioVet family to yours. Learn more about how BioVet can save you time and money on your farm by calling 1-800-BioVet1 or visit bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
If you want to follow more details on the high-path avian influenza situation in Wisconsin, follow us, MidwestFarmReport.com, Midwest Farm Report on Facebook. We'll get you the latest news there. I'm PM Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
We have a winter storm warning today for big snow. We could end up with 5 to 9 inches of accumulation by the time it winds down late tonight. And the wind is going to be an issue too, gusting to 25 to 30 through the day and into the night. That'll create some blowing snow. High today, 25. Tomorrow, conditions improve. Sunshine, 23. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 17.
Ho-ho, the holidays are here, and it's time to pick a present from the grown-up gift list with Civic Media's statewide text-to-win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of the grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on the grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in the statewide contest. Ho-ho-ho!
Earl Ingram.
Mr. Ben Wickler, he is running for the national DNC chair. The fundamental problem was the Democratic brand. Do you think that is the case more than the Harris campaign?
Core answer is yes. The Democratic brand, it's not what we necessarily do or say. It's what people have heard and internalized. And that, to me, is an argument for thinking about how and where we communicate, making sure we are present in places where people are thinking about stuff other than politics.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Kevin Solomon from Common Ground will be joining us to talk about what is going on with the Milwaukee Housing Authority. Brittany Merlot with Weather and Wine, Sports with J.R. Radcliffe. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring. See, now it's the season where Ella's reminding us that it's snowing outside. This hour's keyword in the grown-up gift list text to win contest is North, as in Up North News, North, N-O-R-T-H. Text that in by the end of the hour to be eligible for a stay at Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells and be eligible for 8 great grand prizes that are on the grown-up gift list. Learn more at civicmedia.us. The Up North News Daily newsletter comes out every morning around 5 a.m. You can sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. An article in there today about beer club memberships as a potential Christmas gift. Or how about books? 7 great book recommendations by Wisconsin authors. Learn more over at upnorthnewswi.com. Coming up across Civic Media today on many of these fine radio stations, if you missed last week when we had Sean Fetteplace on from Main Street Alliance, talking about the ongoing push by small businesses to have the legislature expand Medicaid in Wisconsin. Well, if you missed Sean, you could always listen back to our show. Go to civicmedia.us and click on our show page. You can listen to past episodes, or you could listen today to a double shot of Sean Fetteplace. He's on with Earl Ingram at 9 a.m. today and the Todd Alba Show at 12:30. Matt Nair on air at 10:30 this morning has Kevin Solomon from Common Ground. And then tomorrow morning at 11, Dan Schaefer, political editor for Civic Media, author of The Recombobulation Area. That's on Matt Nair on air tomorrow morning at 11. But getting back to the point that Sean Fetteplace was making about expanding Medicaid, known as Badger Care here in Wisconsin. It's something that is long overdue in Wisconsin. Republicans who have controlled the legislature since the Affordable Care Act passed have steadfastly refused to go along with it. Is anything going to be different in this new session now that the Republican majority is thinner than it's been in any recent memory? Up North News reporter Elizabeth Montemurro joins us now to talk about that, because there was a WISP Politics luncheon this week that offered up a bit of a preview about that and other topics. Elizabeth, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, thanks. So you were listening into the WISP Politics session, which featured Senate President Republican Mary Felskowski and Democratic Assembly Leader Greta Neubauer. And so let's start with, I guess we'll start with Medicaid, but, you know, healthcare overall and other affordability issues, did they play a pretty big role in the back and forth at this luncheon?
That's right. They absolutely did. I think my biggest takeaway was that the underlying topic for everyone is affordability. The two different sides just seem to have differing opinions on how we get there.
Well, no doubt. And it's about more than just, you know, just the cost of something. There's also what you can do with it. And what I mean by that is Medicaid versus private insurance. So to give folks a little historical context here, when the Affordable Care Act passed, which included the option for states to get 90% funding by the federal government to expand Medicaid to more people, Scott Walker and the then the Republican-controlled legislature at the time said they're not going to accept that. They will use the Affordable Care Act exchanges to let more lower-income people get the subsidies to purchase insurance, but it's private insurance. And so that's where some of the back and forth is on this. And so when Senate President Mary Felskowski was asked about this from a Republican standpoint, did she provide any indication that they might change their direction and embrace expanding Medicaid?
You know, I think I maybe a little naively, I was expecting there to be a little bit of wiggle room coming out of the conversation, just given the new landscape and the new maps under which Wisconsinites just voted under in this past election, but it very much seemed to be a non-starter.
It's not going to change. And here, let's play a short clip of her explanation of why Republicans are already saying that Medicaid expansion is off the table.
Don't have a gap in Wisconsin, so why would we take people off of private insurance to put them on government insurance and put our hospitals who are already suffering into a worse position with a lower reimbursement rate. We don't need to create more gaps in healthcare when we have people covered.
Right there, you hear in her words the heart of what she's getting at. She talks about taking people off private insurance, which you can, you know, get subsidies for under the Affordable Care Act, and putting them on, and she almost sneers when she says it, government insurance. These are the same people that talk about government schools, and, you know, but they're happy to drive on government roads, and they're happy when, you know, airplanes don't crash because of a government air traffic control system. But that's the way they talk about Medicaid. And I think that Democratic Assembly Leader Greta Neubauer, she took that and certainly sounded like, hey, I think we should still talk about this. And by the way, there's a reason why you might want to move off of Medicaid or off of private insurance and into Medicaid, right?
That's right. You know, she very much spoke to the fact that this will continue to be a priority for Assembly Democrats as it has been in recent years. Because it really can help a lot of folks. And while Wisconsin might be a little bit better, in a little bit better shape in terms of the uninsured or less insured compared to other states, there's still people that could really benefit from Medicaid expansion.
Yep. Let's give a listen to Representative Neubauer.
On Medicaid expansion, that this, of course, is going to continue to be a priority for us. We know that there are some people who are able to be on private insurance, but it is a huge strain on their families, and they frankly are not able to afford it. They are cutting in other areas in order to afford that insurance that they shouldn't have to, because we should just accept these federal dollars and we should increase our ability to invest in healthcare, including raising reimbursement rates for hospitals.
So she raises a couple of really salient points here. The first one she notes is that in much the same way Mary Falskowski sneers about government insurance is frankly the sneer you can almost hear in my voice when I talk about getting insurance from for-profit corporations. And what Representative Neubauer is saying is that, sure, through the Affordable Care Act, you can get help affording a private insurance plan. But you're still dealing with a private insurance plan, all of the administrative headaches and everything that comes along with it compared to Medicaid. So there's a reason why you would get more stable and affordable coverage through Medicaid. But she also raises the point, and this is an extremely fair point, that while Medicaid does provide more affordable coverage, its reimbursement rate to hospitals is lower than private insurance. And that, frankly, has been, you know, as big a stumbling block to expanding Medicaid to more families as anything else, Elizabeth.
That's right. And I think the other thing that goes along with this, Pat, is when you've got other folks that are ultimately underinsured, so they might have insurance through private provider, that coverage is so low that folks end up having to then take on medical debt for basic services.
You know what? Alicia explains this really well on YouTube. She says, when I was on Badger Care, I didn't have to worry about emergencies and unforeseen medical issues. Now on private insurance, I do. So again, if you can fix the reimbursement rate. And so people are coming at it from different sides. On the one hand, it's let's expand Medicaid and let's get more people covered. And others are saying, well, before we do that, let's get the Medicaid reimbursement rate up from the government to these healthcare institutions. And gosh, wouldn't it be nice if both sides could just agree to do that together? It would, you know, because look, I believe it was the Wisconsin Policy Forum that kind of lays out, you know, there's some real cost savings that's involved here potentially.
That's right. You know, Pat, I believe I did a story on this earlier this fall, that the Wisconsin Policy Forum had a report that came out in August or September that looked at the benefits or, you know, just what does the picture look like when Medicaid is expanded or if it is expanded in Wisconsin. And there's actually a huge cost savings that the state of Wisconsin could see if we expand Medicaid. When states have opted to expand Medicaid, they initially get a pretty big sign-on bonus. And for Wisconsin, it would equate to an estimated $1.7 billion over the next 2 years.
That's $1.7 billion that Wisconsin's missing out on by Republicans refusing to accept the Medicaid expansion that could provide this more stable, affordable coverage. That's a nonpartisan report with real dollars and cents behind it.
Right.
Okay.
And that money could easily go to address the coverage rates and the staffing issues that we are also seeing across the board.
Right. Yeah. You could use it for recruiting, retention, training, as well as improving those Medicaid reimbursement rates. Now, also at the forum was Keith Gilkes, a Republican strategist, former chief of staff to Governor Scott Walker. And he kind of, not intentionally, but he kind of throws a grenade into the room by saying, well, this is small potatoes compared to what else could be coming from a Trump Elon Musk administration, which, by the way, begs the question, has anybody seen J.D. Vance? Put him on a milk carton someplace, because right now it's the Trump Musk administration that's coming in. But Keith Gilk is saying, hey, by the way, once they're in, this could all get really crazy. Here's what Keith Gilk has had to say.
It's not just a state program. It's a state and federal partnership. What if under the Trump presidency and CMS, along with Congress, decide to turn it into a block program? Well, the whole deal that was done under Obamacare with 90% reimbursement by the feds goes out the door. And every state that has adopted that is going to have to revamp the entirety of their program. And so you have a Department of Government Efficiency headed by Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, and you don't know what's coming out of that, and you don't know what of that is actually going to pass. It could be significant reform in a multitude of different programs. We got to decide whether people are going to renew Obamacare subsidies. That's going to be coming up for a vote as well. I mean, if that completely undermines the entirety of the, healthcare system, we're going to have some bigger conversations than we ever expected in 25 and 26.
So that's Republican strategist Keith Gilkes. And I just want to take the opportunity to say what he just said there is my I told you so moment. For all these years that Republicans have said, we're not going to accept Medicaid expansion because under Obamacare, it's a 90% reimbursement for the states, but that could be pulled away at any time. Well, what I've always said is it's not going to get pulled away so long as there's a Democratic administration. So when Republicans say, oh, that money could get pulled away at any time, as Keith Gilkes just told you, yeah, a Trump administration might pull it away. That's where the real danger is. But all of this is to say, Elizabeth, that for the folks in the room, I'm sure they were as aware as ever that healthcare is going to be a huge discussion point in the legislature and in Congress in the coming session.
That's right. It's just one more point, or I guess one more thing that folks are dealing with when it comes to affordability issues.
Yeah, a lot of affordability issues. Before we go, we're heading into the holiday break. Last we checked, for Thanksgiving, you and your family were making something like 1,000 homemade raviolis. Was that right?
That's right. The day after Thanksgiving, we all get together at my parents' and prepare Christmas dinner while we have a bunch of helping hands. And they will be pulled out of their little frozen beds in the freezer to be dropped into a boiling pot of water for a Christmas feast.
And how many did you make?
I believe we made just over 700 this year.
700. That's a big old vat you got to use for that. You put a garbage can, a clean one, of course, over a fire, like frying a turkey or something. I want to take pictures. We want to see this.
Will do.
This is a great family tradition. Up North News reporter Elizabeth Montemurro, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thanks, Pat.
All right. When we come back on Thursdays, we normally talk to Luke Mathers. I think he's got an appointment. Any chance he would live from the dentist chair? I don't know. We'll see what we can get done in this next segment of Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Big news in Wisconsin this month, as much of the controversial anti-union Act 10 law was struck down in a ruling by Dane County Circuit Court Judge Jacob Frost. Two takeaways on this. One, the ruling gets at the heart of what has always made this law so brazenly political, by defining public safety employees differently from general public employees. That decision was pretty clearly made not based on across-the-board policy, but on which unions backed Scott Walker for governor in 2010. It would be fitting if that is what ultimately spells the end for this controversial law. Secondly, this case is headed to an appeal, which almost certainly will end up at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. While this case still might be decided by the court's current 4-3 liberal majority, it's a good reminder of just how important the upcoming race for state Supreme Court will be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Here's why I'm glad I don't work in an office. My wife is always talking about, she's a teacher. They put donuts in the teacher's lounge, there's sweets, there's snacks. It wasn't that way here today, but Nikki keeps those Biscoff cookies out there. I probably ate 12 of those today. The phrase "you are what you eat" is very true, because I was sitting in the office earlier prepping the show and I felt kind of doughy and I'm like, I feel like a Biscoff cookie.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Chuck from East Troy. Good morning to you, Chuck. You say what?
I have a bone to pick with you. Since my wife discovered Civic Media 2 years ago, we are addicted to Civic Media, and you are one of the ringleaders. So anyway, I just want to thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, Chuck, man, thank you very much for the call. Tell your wife I said thank you, and it's an honor and a privilege.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
More in honor of Maurice White on the anniversary of his birth from Earth, Wind, and Fire. Before we wrap things up for a Thursday morning here on Up North News Radio. I don't know, Greg, nothing on the phones there? No Mr. Mathers for us at all?
No.
Standing by? I should have had you. Greg, it's so sad when he can't suck up to... I mean, say hello to Luke Mathers. I'm sorry, the capable and handsome Luke Mathers, who I thought maybe we'd play like a cacophony of dentist drills all at once or something like that and say, well, he's not able to talk right now. I'd love to hear him with the whole Novocaine thing going, you know, like, I can't talk to right now, but I suppose he just...
I got a Wook canal. That's a deep cut West Wing reference.
I suppose maybe the dentist and everybody would frown upon that kind of radio entertainment. Two really quick sports scores. Marquette men's basketball, they beat Butler last night at the Fiserv Forum 80-70. The Marquette women's team lost at Bowling Green 64-62. But there are a couple of other sports notes that I wanted to share. The first one is just kind of reveling in, it's a little schadenfreude over Doug Gottlieb over at UW Green Bay. Doug Gottlieb is a longtime sports talk radio host who was hired by the UW Green Bay to be the UW Green Bay men's basketball coach. And he agreed to take it over, but also said he's still going to maintain his daily talk show, which I thought was an interesting career choice. And look, when you're a talk show host, you have license to be particularly chesty, sassy, whatever you want to call it. Doug Gottlieb will do that from time to time, and sometimes it will blow up in your face, as it has done on two occasions very recently. In one of them, after Gottlieb's Green Bay Phoenix lost to UWM last Wednesday, Gottlieb referred to Division II schools as Nobody U, Nobody University. And he talked about how frustrating it is. Like, you got to go play a couple of these D2 teams. And, you know, it's 2 degrees out and snowing. I don't like the idea of Nobody U coming in here. What do we learn playing a game where we win by 20? Well, the Phoenix just lost their last game to Michigan Tech.
a Division II program, blowing a late lead and losing 72-70. Then you've got him. You've got Gottlieb was apparently questioning a report sent out by ESPN's NFL reporter Adam Schefter, and Schefter did not hesitate to fire back. First off, Gottlieb puts up a post that says, Jesus, Schefty, edit what your agents tell you. There's a 0% chance that this thing happens that Schefty had reported. And Adam Schefter immediately claps back. Jesus, Doug, a 7-game losing streak and your last place in the Horizon League? Maybe less time on social media, more time in the gym.
What is going on here?
What's going on here is somebody who should be focusing on his head coaching roles is spending too much time on the radio and too much time on the keyboard.
Yeah.
And Schefter's right. Get back in the gym. You're in last place. You've got, like he said, a 7-game losing streak going. Stop it. You don't need to be engaging in any of this back and forth. You don't need to be engaging in any trash talk. You haven't earned the right to do it yet.
You know, this kind of gives, like, precedence to the idea of just, you know, a college hiring someone who is on a sports talk show or a keyboard warrior. Like, well, they seem to know what they're doing, and Green Bay let their guy go all over the internet, so what do we have to lose?
Yeah, well, what you have to lose is 7 in a row is apparently it.
And possibly your job.
Which takes us to another case of people whining when it comes to sports talk, and that would be the Aaron Rodgers documentary, known as Enigma, which now features an appearance by Brett Favre, because misery loves company. It's a 3-part docuseries on Netflix. And, you know, a lot of it was shot following, you know, Rodgers tearing his Achilles last year and during his rehab from it. But the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel puts up a story about how the third episode begins with Rodgers visiting Brett Favre and talking about their rocky relationship during the time that Rodgers was drafted and was the understudy. And Favre basically saying, what? I wasn't being mean to him. I was just being me. It wasn't about him. I was just doing my thing. And Rodgers now, given that he's also become, you know, a diva of the first order, yeah, is like, oh yeah, I don't see any problem with what he did. You know, we were just being guys and talking about deer hunting and things like that.
Anything that doesn't make me think about my own behavior and actions.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So it was just kind of, I don't know what's the right word. Is it funny? Is it awkward? Whatever it is, to see, again, the arc of both of these two. Now, look, again, they had the Joe Montana, Steve Young thing going, where you had one great quarterback go out and another one comes in and turns out to be great. But in both cases, the route by which they left Green Bay was just so unseemly that, mm-hmm, you know, you can't even take a moment like this documentary and go, hey, isn't it great to see these two old Packers? It's more like, no. Oh my God, what are they going to whine about now?
Yeah.
So maybe next time they can have Doug Gottlieb on.
I mean,
and they can all whine together.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers, the only working has-been in the NFL. There you go.
Right, exactly. All right, well, thanks for being a part of all this on Up North News Radio. Greg Bach is back for Matt and Aaron Air 2 little hours from now.
Darn so right.
You be there. Thanks to our guests for being with us this morning. Thanks to all of you as well. Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Have a great Thursday. Drive safe. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning, Up North.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, world-famous podcaster and comedian Jimmy Pardo makes the popcorn pick of the week. And performing live in the studio are the Doctors in Recital. That's how you light it up holiday style.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Progressive presents Employee of the Month. Small Business Edition. Today's recipient from Michaela's Mobile Spa.
Michaela! Michaela got a quick business insurance quote from Progressive and chose from over 30 customizable coverages. Sure, it helps she's her only employee and does literally everything, but while others would rest on their laurels, Michaela was hard at work saving big. So take that, hypothetical other employee who doesn't exist. Be your own Michaela. See if you could save in as little as 7 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverage is not available in all states or for all vehicles and coverage selections.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Elon Musk stepping in to help kill a bipartisan spending bill that would have averted a government shutdown beginning on Saturday. Here's ABC's Mary Bruce.
The original agreement would have kept the government open until March, with $100 billion in disaster aid and billions more for farmers. But Musk, whom Trump has tapped to lead a new government efficiency effort, launched a last-minute pressure campaign against it, blasting the bill as a crime bloated with wasteful spending, saying anyone who supports it deserves to be voted out in 2 years.
Now, Republicans are working to craft a new bill. Giselle Pellico speaking outside a courthouse in France.
Je pense aussi à toutes les autres familles.
The woman who was drugged and allowed to be raped repeatedly by up to 70 men, a crime set up by her husband, says she was thinking of other families affected by this case and other rape victims. When she decided to let her identity be known, her ex-husband was sentenced to 20 years behind bars today. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly.